Had an interesting Am I Wrong today about a man standing up for a woman's honor.
Yeah, and that kind of got a little back and forth with some of the... We found out some of the ladies in our area are spicy.
And we always love a good ghost story, and we had one today with for our guys with Search for Spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about our daughters dating in the bonus track.
Yeah, that one was a... We almost went at each other's throats there.
That's right. It got a little hot. That's our bonus track at the end of the podcast, all happening right now. Russ and Mark are our resident ghost hunters with Search for Spirits, and we like to have them in, I don't know, a couple times a year, just to, for whatever reason, whether it was the radio station here that was rumored to be haunted that we had them go through, and now we're going to bring them to your house.
Right, but we want to make sure it's a good house.
If you have a haunting and you want Search for Spirits to come by, then let us know. The best way to reach us is on the Kelly and Wood Facebook page. Let us know there. And we're about to talk to Lisa. Now, Lisa doesn't want this spirit out of her house.
Mm-hmm.
Russ and Mark are going to come in. We're going to get Lisa's story, and she's going to tell us why she doesn't want this spirit to leave her house. Pretty interesting.
Absolutely.
And I love these stories, man. They always give me goosebumps.
And so we're going to be running these down all week long and finding out which house we are going to go to live on the Kelly and Wood Facebook page on March 11th.
All right. So we'll get Lisa on the phone next. Kelly and Wood. Russ and Mark are here with Search for Spirits right now, and we're going to get Lisa's story to find out if she's a good candidate for us to go to her house and do a little ghost investigation. All right, Lisa, why do you think your house is haunted?
In 2007, my husband died in my house.
Okay.
Since then, there's been times where a cupboard door will open, or the door in the entryway will just kind of open and close. My dogs and my cat are hyper-focused on an area in my home. And I've actually seen, like, a shadow go from, like, my room into the kids' room.
Ooh.
Just out of the corner of my eye. I could never, like, focus on it, but it's just there.
Gosh, these guys are writing this stuff down like crazy here. So what else have you seen?
Things just fall, like, from... like the top of the cupboard. I don't have the ones that go all the way to the ceiling, so it's where I, you know, store everything.
Yeah.
Now we just say hi, Richie. That's my husband's name.
Right.
Just hi. They're just random things.
And you don't think like the spirit's angry or anything like that. This is kind of more of a comforting thing, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I hope.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, I dream about him all. Like last night, even I dreamt about him and my mom who recently died. They were both in the same dream.
Guys, you obviously see stuff like this a lot.
Yes.
Especially, it's kind of interesting, this being a loved one, you know?
Yep.
Well, and I don't mean to frighten you in any particular way, but we've done numerous cases where they think it is family, and percentage-wise, it is quite rare that it's actually a family member.
Really?
In a haunting situation.
Okay.
One question I have, do you have ashes in the house?
No.
Okay.
No,
okay, that's good.
Not cremated.
Do you have anything that you would call shrine-like of your husband still in the home? You know, like a little section with his favorite hat and his necklace or, you know.
I do still have some of his stuff. I don't have a shrine, but there is stuff I held on to.
And that's understandable.
That makes sense.
Yep. But some people take it a step farther, and we've gone into houses, and they'll have a full-on shrine that can really be an attractant to keep spirits from potentially leaving.
Well, but Lisa, you don't want this. You don't want this spirit to get gone, right?
Not if it's my husband.
Right. Yeah.
I think the best thing to do would be to go ahead and do an investigation of the location and see if we can't identify who this spirit is. Because if this is totally something different, you're going to have a totally different feeling on the whole situation if you find out it was John Doe who died in a car accident just a block away.
Right.
Or something like that.
That would be a pretty big coincidence, though, because you, Lisa, you didn't see anything like this before your husband passed away, right?
Right.
And when would you say things started happening? Was it immediately after the passing? Or a year later? Or 2 years later?
Probably a couple years later.
Okay, so that kind of gives us a sense that potentially it may or may not be. Do you mind if I ask what you do for work?
I'm actually a nurse, and then I'm also a firefighter and first responder.
Wow.
Jeez. Thanks for your service, by the way.
Yes, thank you. And that essentially is a what we call a red flag for us. We do have a share of cases where spirits have followed somebody home.
Okay. Right, right. Especially in those kind of jobs. Yeah, jobs. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I do have, you know, my fair share of fire department stuff. We arrive and people have passed or car accidents where they don't survive.
Now, if say it was a hitchhiker spirit, for lack of a better term, would her husband passing have something to do with that? Like, was she more connected to the spirit world because of her husband passing, or why would the timing be so coincidental?
Well, I think the fact that it was a couple of years later till it actually started, there is obviously a great potential for her husband, who is deceased, more than likely crossed into the light to come back and be helpful. But the whole idea of having a different spirit there, it's just totally coincidental. She's experiencing it because she is potentially around death and harsh illnesses and accidents and trauma. And that's what kind of creates the opening.
Okay.
Well, Lisa, do you feel better about this or no?
I don't know.
I mean, we can...
I'm not opposed to it. Like, right. I've always been interested in the afterlife.
Yeah.
And the, you know, whole veil being thinner for some. But I'd kind of like it just to be my husband.
Yeah. Maybe we just leave it at that, you know?
Yeah, it could be, you know?
If it's not scaring the bejesus out of you, you know?
But that's a lot of stuff going on. If stuff's falling off the walls and doors are opening, I mean, that's pretty heavy energy, which sometimes means that a spirit feels like they're stuck and don't have an option. So if they are doing a lot of little different things, that means they're trying to contact you to kind of send a message, to be like...
Yeah, I don't want to keep anybody here that doesn't want to be, you know? Go to the heaven and enjoy.
Right, right. 100%.
Well, I mean, Lisa, this is definitely a very strong candidate here. You know, Russ and Mark are going to kind of get together with a couple other people. We're going to kind of get these all together. And yeah, I mean, this definitely, you guys wrote a lot of notes down here.
Yeah.
This really gets them going. So at the very worst, they will definitely be in contact. Okay, Lisa?
All right. That sounds good.
Hey, I appreciate you letting us talk to you today and sharing your story with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
Kelly and Wood.
Am I wrong is when someone is struggling with something internally, so they call us up and we put it out there and we see, are they wrong for what they're thinking or feeling?
That's what we do.
We got Molly on the phone right now. Molly, good morning. Why are you on Am I Wrong today?
Hi, guys. So I went out with my longtime boyfriend the other night. We've been together for 8 years. So we're just going out, a nice quiet night, and then somebody at the bar kept making comments towards me and our relationship, and instead of my boyfriend defending me or our relationship, he decided to get the check and leave.
All right, now hold on a second. You said someone was saying something about you in the relationship. This person who was popping off at the mouth, did you know them?
No, I didn't.
Does your boyfriend know them?
I don't think so.
What kind of stuff were they saying?
They wanted to know if I decided if I wanted to go home with somebody else.
Oh, my God. I'm surprised your boyfriend didn't, like, lose it.
Nope, he decided to leave, so he got the check.
Well... Okay, what would you do in this situation? Would you defend your woman's honor?
First of all, I'm a hothead. I don't need anyone to pop off the lady.
Right.
You know, but I also understand. So here's an important question: How old are you, and how old is your boyfriend there?
I am 27, and he is almost 29.
I don't know what a good age is to stop getting in bar fights. All right,
I think 30s. Late 30s, you got to be done with bar fights.
I still believe that I still have one good fight left in me, all right?
Yeah, that's what you think.
I do.
And, with your fake knee and everything else.
And to be quite honest with you, if someone's popping off at my wife, Yeah. That's a hell of a reason to get into a fight.
Yeah.
So I actually don't think you're wrong here. Because that's what I'm guessing you're asking, is you're upset that he didn't do something?
Yeah.
Okay.
And did you want him to throw a fist, or did you just want him to speak up verbally or what? Or just pretty much anything?
Well, one, to speak up, and then two, now to admit that he probably could have done more.
Okay.
Because men tend to forget things once you leave and go home. So now he doesn't recall the situation.
Okay.
Jeez. Man, I wish. He's lying. He's lying about right. that. If somebody makes a pass at your old lady, you remember.
And would you know I'm a wimp?
You're passive aggressive as all get out.
What I wonder what I would do in that situation if someone was like coming onto my wife and I was there. I'm so embarrassed to admit I don't know what I would do.
Yeah.
Because I would, if I started a fight, I'm going to get beat up. It's like literally walking into a beating if I start a fight.
And that's okay, but that's a good reason to catch a beating. Now, is your boyfriend a fighter? Has he been into a lot of fights? I mean, you've been with him for, what, you said like 8 years, so obviously you guys know each other.
No, he is, I don't think that he could win in a fight.
So he's Kelly.
Oh! I can say that, you can't. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. What was that?
I mean, you can still try to say something. You don't have to get in a fight, but you can acknowledge the situation. I don't need people fighting at Buffalo Wild Wings on a Wednesday night.
I don't know. This is the fighter, Mikael, but this is a good one.
Yeah, this is really good.
I think there's a lot more people out there like you that are willing to just say, you know what, let's just get out of the situation.
Right. And I know that that's a very unattractive move for a man to make. Mm-hmm. You know, a woman wants you to sit there and defend her honor. I get that. But, I mean...
All right, already getting some text in here about this one here.
All right, so what we're going to do, Molly, is we're going to put you on hold. You'll be able to hear all the calls and hear all the texts, and we'll find out, are you wrong for wanting your boyfriend to defend your honor, okay?
All right.
All right, now it's time to chime in, 320-656-9453, and let Molly know, is she wrong? I love this text that came in. Someone called you Toby Keith.
Wow.
Tracy called you Toby Keith Wood.
Okay, fine.
40-year-old man trying to start bar fights.
I'll let her rip.
Come on, man.
Got one more in me.
All right, 320-656-9453. It's time to let Molly know, is she wrong?
Kelly and Wood.
We got Molly sitting on hold right now. She wants to know, is she wrong because she wanted her boyfriend to stand up for her honor when some guys were being inappropriate at a bar? 656-9453 is the phone number if you want to chime in on Am I Wrong?
Some great text rolling in here. Lisa says, I don't think she's wrong. After 8 years, maybe he's gotten comfortable knowing she's not going to entertain any of these passes, but still nice to know as a woman that you're worth fighting for.
Okay.
Sharon said the boyfriend should have said let's go and left together. No need to cause a scene and start a fight.
See, that'd be my move.
Nate is with you as well. He says, look, jail time's not worth anyone's honor.
There you go. Right?
Jason says, look, if somebody would be saying like that, I would say let's go, but if they kept it up, I'd turn around and just definitely do something about it.
Okay.
Neil texted in and says, I probably would have fought him, but I'm also trying to learn how to avoid confrontation.
Here's Wood trying to get in one last bar fight.
And he says, it's still hard at my age and I'm still in my 50s. I'm cool there.
Oh, dang.
Bridget says, first of all, as a woman, I would have said something. I don't need a guy to speak up for me. I can defend myself.
Sisters doing it for themselves.
And to be honest with you, I think leaving was the grown-up thing to do. Sharon, though, she says, boyfriend should have said, let's go, leave together. No need to cause a scene and start a fight.
All right. It seems like a lot of people are saying, yeah, when push comes to shove, you might have to say something, but sometimes you got to walk away.
More texts keep rolling in here. Keep them coming here to 320-656-9453.
All right. What are you saying?
I completely understand what she's saying. If it was me in that situation, I would want my husband to defend me or defend our relationship at least. At least say something.
Okay.
I think a lot of women need that reassurance that they're secure in their relationship.
Let me ask you this, though. Now, I know that if I were to stand up for my wife's honor, a beating is coming my way.
Mm-hmm.
What is more chivalrous, a good run or a bad stand?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Would you rather see your man stand up for you and get beat, or your man just kind of walk away and be like, and know his limitations?
Yeah, maybe know his limitations, but then again, I don't know. I mean, even if he just maybe said something, said like, hey, dude, that's my girlfriend, or, you know.
Have you ever been in this situation?
Nice. He doesn't have to be mean about it. No, I haven't, but I would think
Hello.
I mean, that's the thing. That's what I'm wondering, because when I hear this, I'm just picturing my wife seeing me defend her honor and then getting my butt whooped in the process.
Right.
And then everybody's grossed out by me.
Right. Right. My son says hi.
Oh, hey.
Hey, old little buddy.
Right. Well, he's getting a valuable life lesson this morning.
That's right.
Right, right.
What's your name?
Brittany.
Hey, Brittany, thanks for calling in this morning.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. So what would you do? Would you want your boyfriend to stand up for you? Hello?
If they were catcalling, no, I wouldn't care. He probably wouldn't care either. It would be more if there was more to it than just the catcalling.
What if they were asking you about, you know, are you sure you want to go home with that guy?
Well, yeah, then I would be pissed if my husband didn't say something.
Okay.
And, well, let's be honest, I'd probably punch the guy in the face myself. But.
See? Sometimes sisters got to do it for themselves.
You're a go-getter on your own.
Exactly.
All right, 656-9453, 320-656-9453. We'll take a few more calls, a few more texts, and then we'll get Molly back on the phone with her judgment in today's Am I Wrong? Kelly and Wood in the morning with Am I Wrong. We got Molly sitting on hold right now. She wants to know, is she wrong for wishing that her boyfriend would have stood up for her honor when some guys were kind of sweating her at a bar the other night? We got a lot of calls and texts coming in. 320-656-9453 is the phone number.
How about this text message right here? Maybe the fact that she's been a girlfriend for 8 years with no commitment. No wonder she wants to be defended.
Oh, okay.
A couple texters kind of hit on that as well, that maybe there's something more to that aspect of things, and maybe he could show it in that aspect.
Do something.
Yeah.
If we're not going to get engaged, can you at least stand up for me in a bar?
Throw me a something.
Boy, that makes sense. See, that's why I love when women text in, because they see it in a different light than we do.
Absolutely.
What were you saying?
That's immediate grounds for throwing hands. You don't talk to another guy's girl. That's just the way it is.
That's where I'm at.
Okay, but what if I'm going to get beat up if I stand up for my wife? Look, guys, I'm a wimpy dude. I'm 5'9" on a good day, 175 pounds. Come on. No one's afraid of me. And if I bow
you're,
up
you're
and like...
Selling hey, yourself don't ta- short. You're selling yourself short, man. Anybody can win a fight at any time. It's all about not talking. Let them talk. You walk up right in the nose.
Well, bam.
In the nose, in the throat, you win the fight.
See, to me, it's just a respect thing. You know, you've got to show.
Absolutely.
You've got to show respect to your missus or whatever. And you got to show respect to each other as men out there. You know
That's
what I mean?
That's true. And when someone doesn't show respect, you teach them a little respect.
There you go.
That's right.
I can talk tough here.
And of course, Kelly can throw one punch and then make a bolt through the wall.
Ow, my wrist!
If you got good foot speed, you're fine. Don't worry about it.
No, I'm fast. I've been running from fights my whole life.
Yeah, real.
Hey, man, who is this? Who is this?
Mark.
Hey, Mark, thanks for calling this morning, man.
You bet. Bye.
Bye. Kelly and Wood, hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am calling on the Am I Wrong thing this morning.
Yeah, what do you got for us?
Well, they've been together for 8 years, she said, and I get that he doesn't want to kind of get in the mix of things, but I mean, a girl's got to stand up for herself. My husband and I have been together for almost 10 years, and he would know that I would not be able to keep my mouth shut.
Okay.
If that boy is trying to not... If he's trying to be a homewrecker, then clearly he has his own problem. So I would have a hard time keeping my mouth shut that my husband would not have to step in and say anything or even fight.
Okay. So. But sometimes when the girl starts getting loud,
it's go time.
You're getting your man involved in a fight.
Sometimes, yes. But my husband is quite a big guy that they kind of tend to stay away. So I guess I have that on my side as well.
No, I'm not going to lie. And correct me if I'm wrong here. I get the sound of the feel here. That you've gotten your husband in a dust up or two in your time together?
Possibly.
That's awesome. God, I wish I was strong. That's so cool.
But it all ended up well. We're married 10 years, been together 14, have 4 kids, so.
Fantastic.
We're doing well.
Good for you, too. Oh, keeping it spicy.
6 black eyes.
I've thrown a punch myself a time or two.
See?
So we're
What? Who is this? What's your name?
Tasha.
Hey, Tasha. Thanks for calling in this morning.
Thank you. You guys have a good day.
You too.
All right. We got to get Molly back on the phone to give her judgment here, all right? I think she's on this line. All right, Molly, you've heard the calls, you've heard the texts, and your judgment today, and Am I Wrong? Seems like everyone's on your side.
Yeah, I mean, he should have done something. I'm not saying he goes battle royale. Okay.
And all you really wanted to stand up and say, like, hey, she's with me, right?
Just a small comment like that.
Yeah.
Just to show.
Okay, but now the question is, since Molly's right and she wasn't wrong, now what does she do?
Mm.
Do you make him apologize? Post-fight? Or post-encounter?
Are you going to bring it up and say, hey, I mean, you obviously have brought it up, and he says he didn't remember, which, by the way, that's flat-out BS. Unless he was that intoxicated, which it doesn't sound like he was, no, I'm not buying that excuse. Where are you going to take it next with him?
I think I will bring it up a couple more times just to try to see, but I don't want to cause a big argument over something since we've been together for so long.
Well, at least you know you have the power of being right on your side.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be
the court of public opinion anyway.
Turning point of a relationship or anything like that. It's always good to know that you got, you know, being right on your side. Lord knows my wife loves to remind me when she's been right about stuff.
Yeah.
You got one at least in the holster here for the next couple of months, I would assume.
I can use that for a while. That would be nice.
There you go.
There it is.
There it is. All right.
Relationship currency.
Well, Molly, I'm so glad that we could help you out today, and thanks for being on with us at Am I Wrong?
Thank you guys for having me.
Making you feel better about yourself every morning. It's time to get trashy with Kelly and Wood.
Wood will now give us a story with some trashy elements to it. We'll give it a trashy score and put it up on the trashy scale and see where she lands.
We're headed to?
Florida!
Yes, that's where we have 47-year-old Travis Keel. Now, he went up to the front door, banged on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think maybe he knows who lives there, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, no, he didn't. In fact, it was a woman who came to the door. She looked out, and she saw Keel buck naked.
Ah, hello.
That's right. He's like, hey, can I come in? She was like, no. What's the matter with you? He continued to bang on the door. She says, hey, look, if you don't get off my porch, I'm calling 911. That's when Keel said, all right, fine, I'm coming in, and kicked the door down.
What the?
I'm not going to lie to you. That would scare me.
Hey, a naked man kicking your door in?
That's right. Yeah. And while she was already on the phone with 911 when that happened, she ran. Hey, good for her. She picked up a lamp and threw it at him.
Good for her.
Hit him. And when authorities pulled up, Keel came running out of the house. Still in his birthday suit. Officer said, all right, hey, stop. He wouldn't. So they gave chase. Well, apparently one of the officers was tired of chasing him and said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to break out old Sparky. Pulled out the taser and got the tasing. Sure enough, when he was done flipping and flopping around, they were able to put handcuffs on him and arrest him. When they asked him why he came to the house, he says, I know her. She says, I've never seen this guy before in my life.
And we don't know if he was drunk or drugs or anything like that.
They asked him. He said, no, I'm clean living.
Mm.
All right, I'll wait till that blood test comes back.
Bloody likely.
He's been charged with indecent exposure, criminal mischief, and resisting arrest.
Okay, well, let's give this guy a score on the old trash flash here.
Come on now.
Knocking on a stranger's door buck naked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's trashy, man.
That is trash.
That's 250 points trashy there. Busting in, then. That's terrifying
and
trashy. I'm going to throw another 200 on for just busting right in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I guess, going back outside.
Before we get to that, can we get a few points for being lamp thrown at you?
Yeah, I guess that's, you know, if you find yourself in that position, that's pretty trashy.
Chances are you're doing something trashy.
I'll get that 150 points.
Okay.
He was arrested. That's 75 points. That's standard. I can't do much about that.
He was tased.
He was tased. Oh, yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops. Oh, boy, this is going crazy here. Hold on a second.
Come on.
75 plus, carry the
two, okay.
And then we got 125 for being tased.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if he was on drugs or alcohol, so
he
we can't add any points for that. All right, but this is a decent score for a quick story. Are
Come
you
on.
Ready? Today, our buck naked gentleman breaking his way into the house earns himself a very respectable 775 points.
Trashy.
It's time for Happy Hour. Focusing on the good news with Kelly and Woods.
I got great news for you.
All thanks to Audio Video Extreme. So this happened in Albuquerque, New Mexico. A guy is on his way to work. He's going to drop his kids off, then he's going to head to work, right? Notices a big plume of smoke off in the distance, and he's a first responder, so he says, man, that doesn't look right to me. He has that instinct, Wood. He goes over there to find out what's going on, finds a school bus had rolled over.
Oh, my.
Driver's unconscious. Kids are trapped inside. What does this guy single-handedly do? Rescues every child and the driver from that school bus.
Jeez.
The school bus, the bottom of it was on fire. And he spent time. This guy spent time in the National Guard and now works as a volunteer first responder and said that he just knew he could tell that where smoke was coming from, the color of it, something was wrong, and went to investigate. And because he did, all these kids were rescued out of the bus. Isn't that incredible?
Think about that stuff.
Would you have the huevos to do something like that? You know what I'm saying? That's why these people, man, it's like, I don't know. There's something bigger at work because he was in the right place at the right time. And he was able to get the driver out, too, which can't be any easy task.
And it also goes to show how many good people there are. You know what I mean? Like, how many people? And like, I would say no, but I don't know if I was ever put in that situation.
I think you would. I think you would do something. You would have to. What, are you just going to walk away?
And that's the thing. I never want to. I hope I never find myself in that situation. Now, I will say that growing up as a kid, I always wanted to go out the back of the bus.
Oh, didn't you get to do the emergency drill where you got to go out the back?
We never got to.
Oh, man, it was such a mind scramble.
And that's what I was saying.
What a rush.
Like, I always wanted to pop that hatch and just see what it was like just to jump down.
Oh, you missed out, man. That's an honor of childhood when you get to walk out the back of the bus.
So that's what I'm saying. As a little kid, I'd probably be like, all right.
Yeah.
We haven't trained for this. Kelly Jordan trained for this.
Well, this bus was rolled over, too, so there's no telling what the inside looked like.
True.
And it was on fire.
And thankfully, this hero was there.
Yeah. And we'll always put stories like this in the front.
Now, I ask you a question. Where did you find that? Because I turn on the news. When I watch the news, I get told that we all hate each other, that, you know, society's destroying itself, all this stuff.
It takes some digging to find the good news.
I'll
do it every day. You think it's hard for me? Heck no, because I know it's going to put a smile on my face in happy hour.
Sometimes Kelly finds things interesting that no one else does. And I mean no one. It's time for Maybe It's Just Me.
Oh, man, Wood, you're going to love this one. Now, this happened in 1915, so you would think, yes, that's a long time ago, but technology had to be okay back then to tell if someone was alive or dead.
Wouldn't you just be like,
that person,
the old fingers on the throat?
Yeah, mirror under the nose.
Okay.
It's a good one. Well, in 1915, a woman arrived late to her sister's funeral. When she arrived, she demanded that her sister's coffin be opened up so that she could see her sister one last time and pay her proper respects and give her a proper send-off.
Well, show up on time.
So they open. Well, you know, maybe she was grieving.
Maybe a horse went down. Who knows?
Running a little bit late. Upon opening the coffin, her sister, Essie Dunbar, sat up.
I'm punching it.
Smiled.
Right back to hell.
And said, what's going on? That woman, Essie Dunbar, went on to live another 47 years.
Good night.
Two fears I have in this world. Two ridiculous fears I have in this world.
Mm-hmm.
One is going to jail for a crime I didn't commit. Second one is being buried or cremated alive.
Mm-hmm. Well, cremated alive, that's going to be a short run.
It's going to be a tough one, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be a hot streak, that's for sure. But this woman went on 40... She had like a whole entire lifetime after her sister demanded that her coffin be opened.
Did it say what the cause was?
It didn't say what the cause was, but this goes back to that thing that people would have where they were just, this is the whole a dead ringer,
mm-hmm.
where they started putting strings with bells in people's coffins because they would exhume coffins sometimes and they would find scratch marks on the lid of the coffin where the person had gotten buried alive.
And if you ever go back and look at like some of the, and I'm going to use this term loosely here, quote unquote medicine,
right,
that these cats were taking back in the day, you know, they're like literally giving people cocaine and stuff for colds.
Oh, they drill a hole in your skull to let out the evil.
So, I mean, there are probably reasons why maybe somebody slipped into like a really like coma or something like that. And they're like, well, that's it for old, you know,
for old Essie Dunbar.
Jebediah.
She's Dunbar.
Yeah. Hey.
But
now, now everybody knows.
The crazy part of this story to me is that she went on for another 47 years. Like, had she died later that day, I'd be like,
right.
That was just a weird deal she had going on. She got one last jolt from the Holy Spirit.
Get everyone back together and be like, no, this one's for real. And are you like, no, I went to the first funeral 47 years ago.
I'm good.
Did you see how old she was when she was in there?
Well, no, it didn't say how old she was, but she died as like an old lady, so she was probably, you know, in her 30s or 40s.
Well, back then, 30s and 40s was kind of old age.
It had a pretty good run by that point. I found this one interesting.
That was pretty good today.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate
that. You brought
it. And I'll keep doing this, man, because even had you not found it interesting, or if anybody listening was like, stupid, I don't care, because I'm okay standing here and saying right to your face that sometimes, maybe it's just me.
Kelly and Wood.
Well, we became dads again on our bonus track, which is our first break from 5:40 in the morning. I talked about using fake anger to get my kids to do what they want.
The old Catholic guilt, as I called it.
Right. We talked about our daughters getting older and being interested in boys.
And finding out about Murphy's apparently throwing it around like birdseed at school.
It's our bonus track, our first break from 5:40 in the morning, and it's right now.
Kelly and Wood.
March 1st, I don't care. Yes, we got snow in the forecast. I don't care. Yesterday was a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
Today was one of those days it's going to get colder as the day progresses, but it was 34 degrees when I woke up.
It was gorgeous yesterday. I went and picked up the daughter, little sweet Murph, in shorts yesterday.
Yeah, well, you do that. You're winter shorts guy.
Well, no, it was gorgeous out. And then I got to work on the driveway. Yesterday was one of those great days.
Tip the ice.
Where you can really, get that junk up.
See, I have a south-facing driveway, so El Sol does it for me.
Dios mío.
Yeah, I don't even need to get out there, man.
I face west, so it's a little bit of work for me.
A little bit of work for
you. And that's fine.
I will forever, as long as I live in Minnesota, only buy houses with a driveway that faces south.
So you found a gorgeous home.
Don't care.
Super great price.
Stop the sentence right there.
You're out of your mind.
I don't even care. $1 million house for $100,000. Which direction does it face?
Yeah, and there's no way.
Hard pass, ladies and gentlemen. Hard pass.
That's one of those things that you talk about. You talk tough. Right. Like when you watch, I like watching TV. You know that House Hunters show. What is it?
Oh yeah.
Which first of all irritates me to no end because these people, their budget for their home is the most aggravating thing on earth.
Right. Like how are you buying a $600,000 house on $45,000 a year?
And then they go in these beautiful homes and they're like, well, I don't like the wallpaper, so I'm not gonna like this.
Yeah. Wallpaper.
Change it, morons. Yeah. But anyways,
paint over it.
That's one of those things that you talk tough at the start of it. And then when it comes go time, you're like, all right, I'm willing to kind of get over that.
Yeah.
I put an offer on a house here. It was in Sauk Rapids.
Recently?
No, this was when we were looking for our house that we have now.
Yeah.
And this driveway was at a solid 45-degree angle.
That, in Minnesota, man, that's a tough sell.
And that's the thing. Everyone was like, no. Even like the realtor was like, well, if you get it, you can just park your car on the street if you know it's going to be icy or something. And I still put in the, and luckily they turned the offer down because I look back on that and I was like,
that would have stung.
Ooh, that would have been a terrible deal.
The thing is, south facing driveway at a low pitch, boom, I'm sold. I don't care about anything else in the house.
No, the rest of the house is just a dump.
It could have a meth den left over in it. I don't even care.
I'm just moss growing on it.
I'm plopping my money down on it. Speaking of houses, man, our house yesterday, have you ever pretended to be mad at your kids when you weren't just to get results?
Sure.
I did that last night. Yesterday, I was upset because my kids were racing to see who could get in the shower first. And they like pulled clothes out of the dryer and then just left them all over the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really bother me that much, but I thought, you know what? This could be a catalyst to get them to clean up their rooms. So I ratcheted up the anger a little bit. I was like, Presley, Vincent, get down here.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? While you're down here, clean up these disgusting rooms you guys got.
Ooh.
I was like, I don't pay all this money for us to live here so we can live in this mess, in this filth.
Mm.
I wasn't even really that mad. Because I walked away, I was like, that was kind of a jerk move. But you know what? It got results.
You know what that was?
What?
That's Catholic guilt right there.
Well, we're not Catholic. We're Lutheran.
I know, but you're still using it.
Well, guilt is guilt.
Yeah.
But I was just like, you know what? I'm going to act like I'm madder than what I am just so I don't get any talk back.
Mm.
You know, because if you don't act mad, then you get the pushback of like, well, Dad, I was watching something. Or I was like, nah. None of that. Clean up these disgusting rooms.
Hell if I care. That's where you go and you rip the TV off the wall.
Right. Well, okay.
See, you don't go far enough.
Well, because then I got to repair that hole in the wall.
No,
now.
They do.
I got broken wires and a shattered TV.
TV laying against the wall on the floor.
That's costing me $400 or $500.
But you sent a message.
And then I felt bad because my son is such a people pleaser, just like his dad, that then he's like, he's all upset. He thinks I'm mad at him and, you know, don't like him as a son anymore. I was like, I just wanted you to clean up all these Legos that are laying everywhere.
See, he and Murphy are the exact same way.
Your daughter.
Murphy just cannot handle if somebody's upset.
Right.
It becomes then her pretty much job to make sure you're doing okay.
Boy, you know,
little sweetheart.
As a kid, that's awesome because they follow rules. As an adult, golly, that leads to so much stress in your life. Being a people pleaser as an adult is stressful, man. It's so stressful. Because you always think people are mad at you, and then you're always doing things you don't want to do to try and get people to like you. It's a tough life, man.
Look, we're in the trust tree here, right?
Always in the trust tree.
Can I put something out there without you shoving it up my huelo right away?
Your huelo?
Yesterday, as I said, I went and picked up Murphy from school.
Yes.
We're walking all the way back to the truck. And as we're getting close to the truck, I hear from across the parking lot, a little kid, "Bye, Murphy."
Aw, sweetheart.
And I turn around, there's this little boy, he's just waving, just loving it.
Yeah.
And Murphy's like, "Hi," waves. I was like, "Hey, who's that?" She's like, "A boy." I was like, "Okay.
Don't you worry about it, Dad."
Like, "All right." I was like, "You know what?"
Was he holding his hand up like, "Call me"?
Well, here's the thing. Murphy now has, she's had a boyfriend. Seems like a good kid, all right?
Well, she's got to fill the void of an absentee father.
I told you, Kelly Jones, don't you do this.
She's got to fill that void of a father who's never there for her.
Don't do this. It's too early. And the little kid's name's Landon S. And then apparently there's another little boy named Theodore, who's apparently kind of honing in here as well.
Okay.
And as I get her in the truck, I'm like, "Hey."
Her dance card is full.
I was just saying to her, I was like, "What's going on?" I was like, is that one of those two? And she's like, she, honest to God, gets in the truck, turns around. We're eye level at this point.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Dad, it's Landon S. and Theodore. It's two boys. Relax. Chill out."
Oh, man.
And I was like, "Excuse me?"
That's a lot of sassafras.
I says, "If anything, she's like, calm down." I was like, "You don't tell me to calm down." It's like, "If anything, I need to be calming up here."
Calming up.
I was like, "I literally have boys hollering at you from across the parking lot, and you're giving them the old hey-o, wave."
What is she, in kindergarten?
I don't know. One of those.
They start young, don't they?
And that's the thing. I want her. Like, look, I've talked with Andrea. I wanted Murphy to become a nun.
Right.
I don't know if that's
probably not going to happen since you've never been to church with her.
Watch yourself. We have nuns in the Wood family. Thank you very much.
Right. How often do you talk to them?
She's dead. Thanks for bringing it up in front of everybody.
And here, this is how I find out.
Love you, Aunt Patsy. But I was a dolly. Whatever. And so,
super close.
Between this, I was just like, you know, that's fine. But I want her to have like a healthy relationship with boys. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I don't want to be like overprotective, but like, you know, you and JD, you guys both have older daughters.
Yeah, my daughter's going to be 13 in a couple months.
You've had a boy coming over to the house.
I did. And then I found out later that boy had a crush on my daughter.
We all knew that. I told you
that. I didn't know it. And then I found out. I was like, what the hell?
And that's the thing.
I allowed that boy in my house?
Mm-hmm. Up in the room, door closed and everything.
No, there was no. I'll slap you right in that stupid beard of yours. Sick of looking at it anyway.
Get your hands stuck. But you know, like, I was just like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to be too much, but I also want to let her know that I'm watching.
Because you don't want to drive her into the arms of another man.
Exactly. Like the preacher's daughter type thing.
Right.
Like, if I crack down too hard, she's going to rebel.
It's a balancing act, Wood. It's a balancing act that only fathers have to accomplish. Because I guarantee your wife doesn't feel the same way. She probably thinks, oh, that's cute.
And that's the thing. She's
little
like,
little boys and whatever. Nah, yeah, man. I don't play that game.
And like, when she picks her up. And here's the other thing. When Andrea picks Murphy up from school,
yeah,
she gives the boys hugs.
Okay. When you're around.
She just comes straight out.
Yeah.
She knows what's up. Because I, you know, and am I okay to give that kid a stink eye?
Yes.
It seems like it may be wrong.
1,000. You're not putting hands on him. And just letting him know, like, hey, I see you, and I don't like what's happening here.
And to be honest, you know, I'm very supportive of Everett talking to girls and stuff like that. It's honestly very, very 1950s of me.
Sorry.
I don't know.
I'm not going to apologize. Never will I apologize for being overprotective of my daughter.
And my brother, my son has kind of like this girl that he likes at school. I'm putting his business out here on Front Street too.
That's all right.
Like, he came home, he had a big scratch on his face. I was like, hey, what's up with that? He's like, oh, and he, you know, I forget the girl's name. It's like Ariana or something.
Well, you probably shouldn't say it anyway.
He's like, she scratched me on the face. And I was like, what happened there? He's like, she runs hot. And I was like, the heck's going on here?
Well, they always say that boys go after a girl like their mother, and girls go after a guy like their father.
But Andrea doesn't run hot. She's very mild.
She's not into the rough stuff?
No. She knows me. I explode.
Then you cool it out.
And then I come down, very simply relax. But that was it for me when I saw this. Like, I don't know if I'm walking that line, and that's why I was throwing it off you. You obviously just let Presley go around and about.
No, I don't know
boys are here knocking at the door.
I didn't think, okay, I trusted my daughter enough to not worry about a boy being over. Now, finding out that boy had a crush on my daughter, that's a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit of a game changer, and I'm not too fond of it, but what am I going to do?
Yeah, you wouldn't gonna fight a kid.
Well, she's gonna be 13, man. Like at 13, I remember kids dating at 13.
Yeah,
but I'm not gonna encourage it or be like, you know, yeah, go ahead, go hang out with that boy.
And that's the other thing you read about kids starting that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. So
not in my house, man.
You know, I don't know. And this is the parenting stuff that you can't really figure out because it's all different for everybody, right?
You're right.
I mean, like, I think Presley's got a good head on her shoulders. I think Murphy has a good head on her shoulders.
I believe so.
Everett, who knows? Everett, I'm going to have to keep an eye on that kid.
But the good thing is, usually a girl does have a good head on her shoulders, so you don't have to worry about your son. The woman will take care of it.
Well, that's just like her dad, and that's the thing. You know, girls always seem to mature faster than most
yeah,
boys. There's other ones out there. Mary texts in, she says, good morning. My daughter started dating at 16. I would tell them I'll be at the end of the driveway with a shotgun.
Yep.
And say, Mom, that's not funny.
Well, too bad.
I'm still packing.
I'll tell you, I read that book, Strong Fathers, Strong Daughters, and it said that a young lady will never tell you this, but they want their dad to be checking up on them and to be watching out for them.
But I think, I think there's that line. There's that.
Yeah, of course. But I'm just saying, like,
not sitting up in the back seat at the movies being like, what's going on? Rebecca texted in. She says, hey, good morning from New London. That's way on down there.
Yo.
Hey, you guys are partnering with Grand Forks, my hometown, born and raised.
Hey, all right. Yeah, we're getting that figured out in Grand Forks. We're going to try some different things today.